I decided to put the past behind me instead of becoming obsessed. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, to cap off Chuck Norris Week, a week of celebrating the ultimate apex predator, I am here today to review the movie that solidified him as the next big martial arts star, really the first fully homegrown martial art action star, Good Guys Wear Black. Now, for those of you tuning in for the very first time, here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And all this week, I have been celebrating Chuck Norris Week. Again, the celebration of the ultimate apex predator, as opposed to a certain other creature that gets a lot of attention during early July. And to cap things off, I sat down to watch what is considered by Chuck Norris himself to be the movie that jump-started his career. At this point, Chuck Norris has done a few films. He has already had his iconic fight against Bruce Lee in Way of the Dragon, and he has had one other lead role. He's been peppered in here and there in like smaller roles, cameo roles, but he had only one other lead role, and that was in the film Breaker Breaker, which if you ever have wondered, hey, what would it be like if Chuck Norris drove a semi-truck? There you go. There's your answer. Breaker Breaker is your answer. And this movie, Good Guys Wear Black, does have a little bit of a follow-through on that, because here in Good Guys Wear Black, Chuck Norris's character, John T. Booker, is a big race car driver. It's a side hobby for his character, so there are many scenes in this movie where Chuck Norris is driving around in race cars and sports cars. He's got these nice black leather driving gloves on. It's very reminiscent of Ted Mosby in How I Met Your Mother, but more so, it is very reminiscent of Steve McQueen, particularly of his movie Bullet. Good Guys Wear Black also established a reoccurring character and backdrop for many of Chuck Norris's films, and it's actually something that I talked about with Brian last week on the show with Phantom Raiders, the Vietnam War. Oftentimes, Chuck Norris would go on to play Vietnam vets or making films like Missing in Action that is set during or right around the Vietnam War. And concerning Missing in Action, it is worth pointing out here that whether or not Good Guys Wear Black is Chuck Norris's best movie or just the one that propelled him into stardom is up to the comments to decide. You all can decide what is Chuck Norris's actual best movie. Missing in Action is one of the other common ones, along with Delta Force. Personally, I and many others would put forward Lone Wolf McQuaid as his actual best movie, but this is the one that put Chuck Norris on the map. And it's interesting to note from a martial art movie history standpoint where this movie falls in the timeline of great iconic martial art films. This is one of the reasons, I'm going to go ahead and get one of the plugs done right now. This is one of the reasons why if you are on Letterboxd or you've been kicking around the idea of joining Letterboxd, you should follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on there. Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, because one of my favorite parts of Letterboxd is that you can go on your profile, go to movies, and it will show in chronological release order all the movies you have reviewed so far. And I love it because I'm type A, but also because I've always wanted to collect movie posters and I just have never gotten around to like making space for that. Oh, what was that? What's my favorite movie poster of all time? Glad you asked. Might be a surprising one, but it does fit the film category we are talking about here. I really like the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles poster. That one that's like, it's the city of New York and a street and all of their eyes are just kind of popping out under the sewer. Like, that's like my favorite poster of all time. Might be a bit of surprising, but considering the fact that I'm also a huge Lord of the Rings fan, that poster just really gets me. I can't explain it. Anyway, so when you look at these, it's a range from the most recently released film all the way to the oldest. So for the show, Karate Kid Legends is the first movie on this list of tiny posters. What's interesting is that Good Guys Wear Black comes out in between Drunken Master and Snake in the Eagle's Shadow. So while Jackie Chan is internationally establishing himself as the next king of kung fu through these comedy films that he's doing, here in the United States, Chuck Norris is establishing himself as the first truly mainstream American martial artist. Yes, you can make an argument for Bruce Lee, and yes, you can make an argument for Jim Kelly, but by way of like fully homegrown American talent who crosses into the mainstream so much more than Jim Kelly was able to, Chuck Norris is really America's first contender in the martial art movie genre. And it's all because of really one particular scene here in Good Guys Wear Black. You don't really even have to listen to the rest of the review if you don't want to, because it really just comes down to one scene. The scene where Chuck Norris kicks a guy through a windshield. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm pretty sure I've seen people go through windshields before in movies. Not like that. Not that he's kicking the guy and the guy lands through a windshield. Oh, no, no. This is where the legend of Chuck Norris begins. That Chuck Norris is this demigod who has graced us for all these years. No, in this scene, Chuck Norris's character, John T. Booker, is at an airport. And for those of us who really only know airports post 9/11, anytime you see a pre 9/11 airport, it is just such a jarring experience. Already at this airport, a guy has quite easily snuck a bomb onto a plane and blown it up. And the same guy is so close to the airport and just shooting in any direction possible. The villain then gets in a car and tries to run over Chuck Norris. Chuck jumps out of the way once, but on the second time, the car is driving full speed at Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris runs towards the car, jumps, does a sidekick through the windshield, and kicks the driver on the other side, killing him. Thus began the legend of Chuck Norris. Now, I know I made the joke that now you can officially stop listening to the episode. And honestly, you could probably go on YouTube and find the clip for itself. I don't know where you can watch this one because I actually own it on DVD and that's how I watched it. I'm sure, though, it's got to be on like Tubi, Roku, Freevee, all of those like quick streaming, fast channels or whatever they're called. But hang in there. I want you to stick with me a little bit, because I want to make an argument for Good Guys Wear Black. Not that it's a good movie. It is a good movie. It's iconic. It is much like Drunken Master. It is mandatory viewing if you are a lover of this film genre. But I want to make a case for this film that, of all of the movies, this movie actually has the potential to be remade. Now, I'm not necessarily 100% committed to this. As Mo once famously said in a short, in a Three Stooges short, it's my idea, but I don't think much of it. The reason why I think that Good Guys Wear Black is such a has a good potential for being remade is because a lot of the themes and a lot of the plot lining within this story is all things that I think a modern audience would really enjoy. So that's why I'm going to make the case for we could remake Good Guys Wear Black. I'm not saying we have to, okay? I'm saying we could, because it does contain a lot of the things that viewers nowadays want in films. I mean, let's be honest, Hollywood ran out of ideas back in 2008. They made Iron Man, and that was it. We were officially out of ideas after that point. But let me be clear about this as well. I'm not saying that we need a sequel, a requel, a prequel, anything like that. And this movie cannot be remade into the modern 2020 era. This movie has to stay firmly within 1978 or the late 70s. Whatever. Either case. It turns out that this movie was originally intended to be the start of a film series for Chuck Norris as John T. Booker. And technically speaking, in The Expendables 2, Chuck Norris does play a character named Booker. So Good Guys Wear Black is now headcanon, part of the Expendables universe. But again, I don't want a sequel. I don't want a prequel. I don't want a requel. I just want a good old reboot, remake. Not a reboot, excuse me. I want a remake. I want a pure and simple remake of this movie. If we're continuing to run out of ideas, let's try this one, because I think the plot is something that people nowadays would really gravitate towards. Again, this film is set around the Vietnam War. And a diplomat in the United States meets with one of the leaders from a diplomat from Vietnam to negotiate the end of the war. And in part of the negotiations, it is agreed upon that Vietnam would release a select group of MIA, missing in action soldiers, if this American diplomat agreed to have an elite group of assassins known as the Black Tigers murdered. As long as they could make this arrangement happen, Vietnam will release the MIA's prisoners of war and will bring an end to the war. And so this diplomat, he goes all biblical on this group. Yes, I'm referring to David and Uriah the Hittite here. Basically, he sends them into what they believe is going to be a rescue mission, only to discover that they are actually going to be ambushed and wiped out by Viet Cong. And it almost works, except for a handful of people who are led by the Black Tigers' fearless leader, Chuck Norris. Fast forward to 1978. It's 5 years after the war. Chuck Norris, along with being a amateur race car driver with a need for speed, he's also now a professor of political science at UCLA. I think it's UCLA. And lecturing on the Vietnam War and how the United States should have never had entered the war in the first place. From here, he learns through his companion, this woman who accompanies him throughout the movie, who is trying very hard to conceal who she is and all the information that she has from Chuck Norris. This movie is literally Chuck Norris has questions and nobody wants to give him an answer. But he works alongside her to uncover a plot that this former U.S. diplomat, who is now being nominated to the position of Secretary of State, the Vietnamese diplomat is now calling in a favor from this guy to finish the task of eliminating the rest of the Black Tigers, or he is going to, the Vietnamese diplomat, that is, he is going to expose the Secretary of State for who he really is. And so this soon-to-be Secretary of State, concerned about his image, because as it is briefly mentioned, they are living now in a post-Watergate world where these kinds of things, these appoints and approvals, are taken very seriously, where in the past it was more of a formality. He is now orchestrating the assassination of the remaining of the Black Tigers with Chuck Norris as the lone survivor who is going to somehow figure out a way to bring down this assassination attempt. And in the process, spoiler for the ending, assassinates the Secretary of State. Now you tell me, good listener, doesn't a movie about that is anti-war, about exposing corrupt government plots and officials, and of course features fast-driving cars, doesn't that sound like a movie that would appeal to the modern audience? Not only does this movie present a large ethical question of, is it worth killing off a handful of people if it means bringing the end of a war? This is, of course, part of the plot line to the movie and comic book series Watchmen. Not only does it bring up such a large ethical, philosophical plot point, this idea of corrupt government officials doing whatever they can to elevate themselves and government conspiracies to cover up incidents in the past, this all sounds like something that a modern audience would really gravitate towards. It seems like anymore, no matter what side of the political aisle you may fall on, it is easy to look at the other side and say, you are a bad faith actor. Like, to find a politician that is like, we are beyond that time period of where we really can trust our politicians to do what is best for us. And part of that may be because of this time period that this movie is centered around. The Vietnam War, Watergate. It's kind of this like growing pains moment for the United States where we started to see through the cracks of the facade that these politicians aren't necessarily always out for our best interests. These elected officials that we choose to represent us aren't necessarily always acting in our best interests, but are self-serving at times or all the time. So yeah, I think if we are going to continue to remake movies because we ran out of ideas back in 2008, then maybe we should consider remaking Good Guys Wear Black. Who steps into the shoes of Chuck Norris? I have no freaking idea, especially if you take into consideration, I'm sorry for the amount of times I've said that phrase in this episode. It just kind of dawned on me as I was saying it right then. Especially if you think about Chuck Norris's fighting style. Every martial artist actor who goes big, actor and actress who goes big, usually develops some kind of thing that they are known for. And sometimes it is like a character. I think that is especially true of Chuck Norris and of Jason Statham as well, because obviously if Jason Statham's in a movie, he has a job. That's his character. He has a job. But usually there's some type of fighting element that is really that the martial artist develops. And when it comes to Good Guys Wear Black, outside of the iconic windshield scene and the equally just as cool moment when Chuck Norris kicks a guy off of a motorcycle who is driving at him, the thing that Chuck Norris really embodies here and in a lot of his movies to come is his kicking ability. His ability to the sheer amount of jump spinning kicks in one scene was laughable. And I know that is like a cardinal sin to say when you're talking about Chuck Norris's fighting ability, but just the amount of times Chuck Norris jump and span around in a circle to kick somebody, even I was like, okay, nobody has tried to just sweep his legs out from underneath him yet. Like, in case you haven't seen the reels or you're not familiar with Chuck Norris's background in the karate tournament scene, the guy had some of the strongest kicks in the game. There's a popular reel that goes around of him just like demonstrating a round kick, and it seriously sounds like gunfire. I think there was even one clip that goes around sometimes that back in the day when Chuck Norris and Jean-Claude Van Damme were training together for some reason. I don't think they ever made a movie together in their prime. They are both technically in The Expendables 2, but they never actually like fought against each other in a movie. And even Jean-Claude Van Damme is like, wow, these kicks are strong. And that's coming from the muscles from Brussels. Speaking of fighting combinations that we never got together, there's actually several for Chuck Norris, although he did have the big showdown between him and Bruce Lee again in Way of the Dragon. It is worth noting we never did get Chuck Norris versus Jim Kelly, which I think that would have been fantastic, because if anybody had a similar fighting style to him, it was Jim Kelly, because he also came from the karate tournament scene. We never got him and Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm pretty sure we never got him and Steven Seagal. There's a lot of combinations that we never got, and at this point, there's a good chance we never will. But I really think of all of them, the biggest missed opportunity was not putting him and Jim Kelly together in a movie, either to work together and they have a sparring session at one point, or one of them's the bad guy and we get a showdown between the two of them. I think it's a real missed opportunity that we never got that showdown. Now, our time is starting to come to an end here. So once again, happy Chuck Norris week to you all. And thank you, Chuck Norris, for inspiring countless numbers of martial artists through all. Thank you for all these years of being on our TV screen, decade after decade, inspiring generations, and will continue to inspire generations to come. I've already said I own this movie. It's actually a double pack with Good Guys Wear Black and A Force of One. And so you know you'll be getting that review at some point. But would I watch it again? Absolutely. This one for me, not just this movie, but Chuck Norris as a person, he is the one that I am going to definitely be the dad who says, all right, son, mom's not going to be home tonight. Let's have a couple root beers and enjoy a kick butt movie. And we'll sit back and watch most of a Chuck Norris movie. Usually there's some scene where he gets the third base with or home plate with somebody. No nudity, though. You do get a little steamy action in this movie, but no nudity, though. But it, yeah. Shocking for the 70s. Well documented how much the 70s loves nudity. But no, this would be the one, the actor of all of them. Because many dads had that with like Stallone, Schwarzenegger, all those like 80s action movies. To me, that's Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris is the one that'll say, all right, son, thankfully your mom's not home today, so let's watch Silent Rage. And I will scar him for life with that one. Thank you all for listening to today's episode. Again, follow the show on Letterboxd if you haven't yet already, or you can keep up with just about daily updates from Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party. You can also check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. Check out the other great shows here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network, including Why I Don't Like, Systematic Geekology, Friday Night Frights, and of course my sister show, My Seminary Life, which goes more into the faith, theology, philosophical world. But again, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me this on the first ever Chuck Norris Week. Chuck Norris Week 2025 is now behind us. And I promise next week's movie has nothing to do with Vietnam. Next week's episode has nothing to do with the Vietnam War. But until then, this has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.